So rock and roll. Does your life stand still or flow? Better bring the real and stop your show. Come as you is, come as you are. Live in the heart, don't venture far. All of this I like to sing. It doesn't matter anyway. I'm here. Oh yeah. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, black fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish. Dr. Seuss says none can prove this, but I know it's what the truth is. So many flavors now and later. Some are strangers, some are neighbors. Same situation, different view.
That was Trevor Hall with Dr. Seuss right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning about Dr. Seuss with biographer Brian J. Jones. His latest book is called Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theodor Geisel, and the Making of an American Imagination. He's here at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico with us, and the kids have a lot more questions for him.
What do you think it is that sets Seuss's books apart from other children's books?
What books for children were like when Seuss first started writing, it was a lot of books about how you all need to be well-behaved people and you need to learn lessons and act like good children. And Seuss was like, no kid wants to read that. Nobody wants to read that. So Seuss is the one that starts writing books kids want to read. I mean, what's one of the things that when you're reading Dr. Seuss and why parents love to read Dr. Seuss? It's that rhyme scheme. There's never a moment when you're reading his work where you have to try to figure out how to pronounce a word to make it fit the rhyme. He's very careful about making sure as you're reading along and you're galloping in that rhythm, you never have to stop and figure out how the word is pronounced. If you have to say it refrigerator, and just say instead of just saying refrigerator. He has this really great moment where they ask him to go teach a class to other people who want to write for children and explain how he works and what he thinks makes a great children's book. Seuss tells this classroom full of students, kids deserve to have great books. They deserve to have books written for them. They deserve to have books written in their language. And he was telling people at the time in the late 40s, he said, you know, everybody's reading comic books and comic books are your competition. And people are reading comic books because children's books are kind of boring. You need to start writing great children's books. Also, Seuss's books don't look like anything else. I mean, you always have people who will talk about drawing in the Dr. Seuss style. We all kind of know what that means, even if we can't explain it. He really did something special for kids. And what was even better, his parents loved it too. So I think that makes his work really timeless, even today.
What inspired Dr. Seuss to draw what he does?
You know, Seuss is very funny about that because he always claimed that he was trying to draw things realistically and they came out wrong. Now, his wife wasn't sure she bought that, but Seuss just said this is just the way he draws. He said he sat down at one point and tried to draw, I think, a baby tiger, and it came out looking the way a Seuss cartoon looks. So he just said, this is the way I think things look. Somebody asked him at one point about the Lorax and the way the Lorax looked, because Seuss had said at some point, I considered making him like a big robot. I didn't know if he was going to be fat. I didn't know if he was going to be tall. And then I drew a picture of him. And of course, that was just the way he looked. That was the Lorax. So Seuss just thought that some things just happen naturally. You draw a Lorax that way because that's what they look like. When he was doing his books, a lot of times he would actually break a piece of crayon and send it to Random House and say, this is the color green that I must have in here. That's how important color was to him. Can anybody tell me in the original book of The Grinch, the 1957 How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what color is the Grinch in that book?
Green.
White. White and red.
There you go. Seuss only uses one color in that book because it was too expensive to print books in color, and it's red. So he puts the red in the Grinch's eyes and things, and the Santa suit. And the Grinch is not colored in it. The reason we all go with green is because of the cartoon that they did in the 60s. They picked that color green because it was the color of the rental car he had been driving all over California while they were working on it. But the green comes from the cartoon.
Do you think Dr. Seuss's works really fundamentally changed how other children's authors wrote?
Absolutely. And I think that Seuss sort of created the children's book market. Seuss is the one that shows you that if you do it right, you can get the kids, the teachers, and the parents. And once Seuss figured that out and starts not just his own books, but there's that whole stream of books called the beginner books, and that's where Fox and Socks comes from, and Are You My Mother? Books like that creates this whole industry. And in fact, at one point, it was the most profitable arm of Random House was the children's book section.
Our guest today on the Children's Hour is Brian J. Jones. He's a biographer. He's written a biography about Dr. Seuss, and that's who we're talking about today, and that's who we're learning about today. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
Between the two of you, I do think.
That's Lindsay Sterling featuring Sabrina Carpenter right here on the Children's Hour with your mean one, Mr. Grinch. We're thinking about Dr. Seuss today on the Children's Hour, and our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's an American biographer who's written biographies on lots of cool people, including Jim Henson, George Lucas, Washington Irving, and his latest is on Dr. Seuss, and it's called Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theater Geisel, and the Making of an American Imagination.
How do you think Seuss's childhood affected his later career in writing and illustrating children's books?
I think part of it is Seuss comes from a German family. Almost everybody in his family spoke German fluently. And Seuss, as a child, loved to sit at the top of the stairs when all the adults were gathering and listen to them talk. And one of the really interesting things about speaking German is German words, if you want to make them more descriptive, you don't add words. You just keep adding letters to the end of a German word and make these words that are huge, you know, 35 letters long. A lot of German words sound like they could have been written by Dr. Seuss. I think that that language itself really amused him. I think that gave him part of that interesting ear he's got for words and for that knack he's got for making up words. I mean, take a word like Grinch. Grinch sounds like a word that's been around forever. Not invented in 1957. I mean, you hear Grinch and like, we know what that means. It's like the word Scrooge. You kind of know what that means when you hear it. Seuss had this real knack for being able to pick these nonsense words that sounded like what they were. And I think part of that came out of listening to his family members speak in German. I think that really influenced the way he played with language.
Given the fact that Seuss was a German-American, how do you think living in America and seeing the events of the Holocaust affected his writing?
So before even America got into World War II, Seuss was drawing cartoons for a very progressive newspaper in New York City called PM. He was living out in California, and he would draw them in the morning and put them in the mail and have them whizzed off to the East Coast to be published the next day. And he saw Hitler's number early on. He knew that guy was trouble. So he has a lot of cartoons trying to tell Americans, this is a bad guy. We should get involved in this. This is also a time when people said, we don't need to be fighting in the war overseas. And Seuss was saying, we should probably get involved because this guy is really bad news. So Seuss saw that going on very early and drew cartoons for about 3 years. And he has some really effective and kind of haunting pictures about the treatment of Jews in Europe at that time under Hitler. So he really got it. I mean, he had a very progressive view attack that got him in a lot of trouble. And I think you'll see sort of Seuss's human side in the way he approaches humanity and the way we treat you in a book like The Sneetches, where ultimately the message of that book is it doesn't matter if you've got a star on your stomach or not, you know, we all deserve to be treated the same way. I think that really was driven home just from being a German kid even. He was growing up during World War I even, and he had stories about walking home from school and having other kids throwing coal at him and saying terrible things to him because he was from a German family and the Germany was involved in World War I as well. So he had actually lived that experience of being discriminated against for being German.
Our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's an American biographer. He has written many books, but his latest is about Dr. Seuss. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
We can all remember when we were young. There were those that had it and those who had none. Oh, yeah, struggling to find the space in between. The four eyes and glasses and the homecoming queen. You may be competing, but there's no prize when you're trying to be someone that you barely recognize. Oh, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin. Don't you let it win, 'cause it's cool not to fit in. So go a little crazy. A moment when you look around, at all of the people in your life that never put you down.
Oh, yeah.
And where are those people you're working so hard to impress? Don't you know that the homecoming queen is just a girl in a dress?
when you look around at all the people that you love. They're the ones dancing to the beat of their own drum. Oh, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin. Don't you let them win, 'cause it's cool not to fit in. So go a little crazy, don't you fear, 'cause it's cool to be weird. Oh, yeah.
It's cool to be weird.
It's cool to be weird.
It's cool to be weird.
It's weird to be cool. No, it's cool to be weird. Or something along that line.
When you've mislaid a certain something, keep your cool and don't get hot. Calculatus Eliminatus is the best friend that you've got. Calculatus Eliminatus always helps an awful lot. The way to find a missing something is to find out where it's not. It isn't here, I'll mark this X. It isn't there, I'll mark that Y. It isn't underneath the apple, mark the apple HKI.
It isn't in this keyhole.
No.
And it isn't on my knee.
Mark the keyhole, K300. Mark the knee, 57B. We just jot down all the places where it isn't. And gee whiz, very shortly we will locate where the missing object is.
It isn't here.
842J.
It isn't there.
F607. You can mark the piano, 22,000 decimal point 11.
It isn't in the icebox.
That's strange.
It's not on this TV.
Icebox 024 and a half. TV 1,000,003. When you've mislaid a certain something, keep your cool. Don't go to pot.
Calculatus Eliminatus is the best friend that you've got.
Calculatus Eliminatus always helps an awful lot.
The way to find a missing something is to find out where it's not.
That was Alan Sherman right here on the Children's Hour from Cat in the Hat and Calculatus Eliminatus, and recorded back in 1971. Tyshawn before that with It's Cool to Be Weird. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about Dr. Seuss. You can learn more and follow along with our playlist at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Dr. Seuss.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.